Hey everyone, welcome back to the What's Your Life Journey podcast with our guest, Lisa Cimarelli, my good friend, also a social media influencer and musician. Thank you so much for tuning in today. So who would you say Lisa Cimarelli was at the beginning of this journey?
I mean, okay, where's the beginning? Like when I started
feeling like very ugly and kind of worthless?
I feel like when I was 12 was the first time I started like becoming aware of like darkness in the world and like, wow, things aren't always perfect all the time. But then it wasn't really till I was probably 15 that I started seeing it in myself. And I was she was insecure, dead inside a little bit, really not, what's the opposite of self-assured? Like, full of doubt.
Yeah, okay.
And
I was
scared.
Gonna say insecure, but yeah.
And I would say, actually, I'm realizing lately a big word was hopeless.
Where do you feel like all that stemmed from? I mean, seeing the darkness in the world.
I think that was it. Because I remember up and before I was 12, it was like, it's kind of like whatever your parents tell you is just true or whatever.
Yeah.
And if anyone would have told me like, oh, you have blue feet, I'd be like, wow, I have blue feet. Right. I just believed everything that I heard and everything. And I remember I did not think for myself. And whatever, if someone told me, oh, you're supposed to do this at this time on this day, I'm like, all right, that's what I do. I wasn't thinking for myself. And I remember at 12, I just had a shift where I was like, whoa, like people do this and you don't have to do that. And I have a choice. I could just lay in this bed for the rest of my life. Like all these weird things of like possibilities. And my brain started like awakening and I just started like observing the world around me. And then I started to notice all the bad things as well. I'm like, oh wow. Like some people say they're going to do something and they don't do it. And some people say that they care about you, but their actions prove differently. Right. Like all these like really heavy thoughts for like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to question things when you were younger or not really?
I really liked it.
Because
I mean, when I was little,
now. Yeah.
No, I had no idea. I just didn't. I don't know why when I was 12, puberty, no idea. But
I guess
somehow
so.
My brain literally felt like somebody switched it on. And all of a sudden I was like, I was awake and I wasn't a robot anymore. And I was like, whoa.
So what were a lot of the voices in your head during this time?
I mean, it was just my own voice. Just a really...
What was it saying?
It's a really... A pretty pessimistic, critical narrative. Very critical. Just critical of myself and critical of the people around me. Like, yeah, everything that was ugly at all in other people, like, really bothered me. And I think it was because things about myself bothered me so much. I don't know why I was such a perfectionist. Like, I don't know why or how I started believing that, but I just believed that I was... There was always this impossible bar that I could not reach in like my looks, my personality, my friends, whatever. And it was, and then because that was so crushing to me, then I would also get really like cocky and overly confident, like trying to make myself feel better. So I'd be like, oh, I'm better than everyone here. Like I can sing better than them, or like I'm prettier than her, or whatever. And I'd always try to find like weaknesses in other people to like put myself above them, because in reality, I felt so low beneath everyone around me. So I was just like overcompensating.
So you'd have to try and build yourself up.
Yeah, I was trying to make myself feel better. So I would always, so I was either drowning in my self-hatred and like, oh, I'm the worst person in the world, or trying to make myself feel better by being like, oh yeah, I'm better than everyone. But I knew I didn't really believe that.
When did it all come crashing down for you? I mean, I know it's been, you know, a few years for sure where different things have happened. And
yeah, there's
actually
like different chapters of it. Like, I think the first time was 2011 when I was 17.
Yes.
It always starts with Christina. She's like, you know.
Yep.
And she gave me a stern talk because...
Christina is her sister, by the way.
My older sister.
Yep.
Let's see. I was going down a little bit of a weird path. I was starting to get really obsessed with like my appearance, and I was wearing like kind of like, I look back and it really wasn't drastic, but it was just like heading in a direction where I was like, oh, like I want to wear like shorter shorts, even though that wasn't really me.
Right.
And like, oh, I want to wear like, I used to only wear makeup when we were filming. So then when I was 17, I was like, oh, I want to wear makeup to like my friend's house and stuff, which is not a big deal, but it was kind of weird for me because I didn't usually do that. And like, I started talking to more like bad boys. That mm-hmm. was kind of the beginning for me, because my up before I was 17, like I didn't really talk to anyone. I had so many crushes and they were all from afar. So I actually started like talking to these bad boys and I was like, ooh, like, and nothing happened, but yeah. It was like different for me.
Right.
And it sucks because a lot of my friends actually went through wild phases.
Yeah.
And for me, that was my wild phase right. to them, because they were so shocked that I was doing anything that wasn't my normal.
Yep.
And it kind of came to a head when I remember I spent the whole night at this party, like hanging out with this guy that my friend literally told me she had a crush on the way to the party.
Yeah.
But then was like scattered and gone. And then it was just like the two of us, and we were like hanging out mm-hmm. and stuff. And then like went back to the group and everyone like saw us talking. And I don't know why, I just forgot. I don't know how it happened, but the whole night, like I usually remember things like that. And the whole night I was talking to him, and then she was really mad at me the next day, and everyone was like, Lisa, what the heck? Like all my friends were there.
You had no idea.
I didn't really know until the next day, but everyone started getting mad at me, and like some of them were just telling my sister behind her mm-hmm. my back, like, oh, Lisa did this, blah, blah. And I was like, I was so embarrassed. Yeah. I was like, guys, I didn't even do anything. Like I was just talking, right. but at the same time, I was like, how could I do that? And I felt so bad. So like looking back, like it really wasn't that dramatic, but it felt like the end of the world, because yeah. everyone turned on me at once. Christina, of course, I got home from that trip. It was in Sacramento. I came home and she was like, Lisa, your friends are texting me. Mm. They're like, what's going on? I don't even want to hang out with her anymore. She's being so different, all stuff. Huh. And I was like, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like all having this news delivered to you. But I was so ashamed of myself. I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Who am I becoming? Yeah. And I was like, I don't want this life anymore. I don't want to be like this. And I totally like examined myself and like all the things that were not working for me. And I started like changing that. But really the only thing that really changed for me at that point was the eating. Because throughout my teenage life, like I remember when I was 15, that was the first time that I, from your earlier question, that was the first time I really felt like ugly or really flawed. I remember I was sitting on my bed and I'd been having these kinds of thoughts before that, but this was like a moment that one of the first moments I remember where I just like grabbed my legs and I looked at them and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so fat. And I hated it.
Yeah.
And I look back and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like 5'5", 110 pounds, something. Like I was way skinnier than
normal.
I am now.
Yeah.
And I was a little twig, but I remember because I wasn't the same weight that I was when I was 8 years old, I didn't understand. Like,
interesting.
And you get older, you yep. get taller, you get bigger, right. you grow up. Like I was transitioning into a teenager, but I was still.
And as a teen, you just look kind of awkward.
Yeah,
anyways.
But like, I look back and I'm like, I had like my ribs sticking out and my knees. I was very skinny, mm-hmm. but I didn't have these little tiny like spindle 8 year old legs.
Yeah.
So I was like really ashamed of myself. But so throughout my teenage years, I couldn't just transition into my teenage body, and I was fighting it the whole time. And I would just like, I remember I would just go on runs and like punish myself. Like, and then I would come home and eat like 10 bowls of cereal.
Yeah.
I had like a horrible relationship with food. So circling back, when I was 17, all my whole path or whatever just came crashing down. And that was the thing that really stuck out to me, where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all these things that I don't like, and this is probably the biggest one that's like ruining things for me is like this horrible relationship with food and this horrible image of myself, that I'm some like terrible person that needs to be like punished and changed constantly. So I was like, okay, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to treat my friends like this anymore. I don't want to treat myself like this anymore. I don't want to feel so crappy all the time, every time that I eat anything or every time I put on a dress or whatever and I don't like the way I look. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to let myself eat whatever I want and I'm not going to
judge yourself.
I'm not going to like try to work it off or whatever. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. And the whole summer I did that. And then after that, I kind of started to like calm down. I was like, okay, I gained like 10 pounds and I'm not upset about it. It was like a whole journey of just learning how to accept myself without like having a reason to. Like whatever happens to me, I'm just good enough as I am.
So do you feel like you try to control a lot of stuff until that moment too?
I think I was I was trying to
you were learning to let go.
Yeah, I was trying to package myself constantly. And then that summer I was like, okay, it was kind of like a early version of what I went through in the last few years again, of just like, I need to stop trying to be this perfect girl and I need to just be.
Yep. I like that. Would you say when you kind of had the wrecking ball moment with your sister after the, like, talking to your friends, or not her boyfriend, but the guy that mm-hmm. she was interested in, would you say that the wrecking ball moment actually kind of hurt at first, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, would you say, too, that when that happened, did you judge yourself at all first before you started changing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so humiliating. Yeah. It was painful.
Exposing.
It was, yeah, terrifying. Yeah. I felt like... And people didn't talk to me for, like, 2 weeks after that, which isn't that long, but
that's
felt
a long
like
time.
A lifetime.
Yeah, that's a
I was
long
like,
time.
Oh, my gosh, I just lost all my friends.
Huh.
And my sister's mad at me. Of course, they didn't, like, abandon me, but they're just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And... That I think because I was left completely alone, and I was in Malibu where I didn't have any friends that lived near me because all that happened in Sacramento.
Right.
So I came home from the trip and I was like, oh my gosh, no one's texting me. There's no one here that wants to hang out with me because I don't know anyone.
Yep.
So I was just like alone on the beach every day, and I was like, I really had time to. And we didn't have that much going on in our career, just like YouTube videos like once a month or whatever. So like I had so much time to just sit around and live in this shame and be like, and looking at myself like, what have I become? How did I get here? Yeah. How do I get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
And I spent those 2 weeks like forming a plan
mm-hmm.
on how to fix it.
So it took really 2 weeks to change the mindset, at least?
It took the whole summer
to
change it. But those 2 weeks was kind of like the initial period of analyzing myself, figuring out what was broken and what needed to be fixed, mm-hmm. and then how I was going to proceed to start living the way that I actually wanted to live.
Yeah, okay. What were some of the things that you did during that two-week period that you feel like kind of maybe didn't solve the issues for you but accelerated the process of healing? Because I know you went on a lot of walks and you journal a lot.
Mm-hmm. I went on walks every day where I would just listen to whatever music suited my mood. And a lot of like songs like Skyscraper by Demi Lovato that are more like healing, where it's like,
absolutely.
Oh, like I'm broken but I'm not... Right. It's not over for me, you know?
Yep.
And I journaled every day, sometimes twice a day, like pages and pages. I still have those notebooks. And it was just, it's very like just self-analyzing, like, why am I acting like this? And like, how did I get to this point? And I try to like trace back my steps and like, oh, I remember it started at this time and like what was going on then? And mm-hmm. like, how do I, like, if I'm taking this bad habit out of my life, what am I going to replace it with? So it was all like looking at my situation very thoroughly and figuring out what needs to go, what needs to stay, and what needs to come in to replace it.
Do you look back on your journal entries now from back then, especially when you're going through harder stuff, either for hope or maybe even sometimes to like add to your painful feelings?
Oh, gosh. No, I just, I look back on them once in a while just because I'm like, wow, it's been so long.
The improvement too.
And and sometimes I might look back to see like, because I remember so much growth was happening then. Mm-hmm. So I might look back and be like, what was I saying that was working back then.
Who do you feel like was kind of holding you up during all that? Because I know you were pretty isolated, but I mean, your sister is the one who came to you and said something. And who was your support network during that time?
I felt like even though Christina like started it, I didn't talk to her as much throughout the process. It was kind of, I remember like talking to Catherine, my other sister, mm-hmm. on the couch like late nights, and she was really like comforting to me and like, you know, like, yeah, just
typical
nice
Catherine
stuff.
Fashion.
Yeah. And I felt like we got closer that summer. And then my friend Jordan, who wasn't there and wasn't really in the group of friends that happened with, like I think she kind of stayed close to me throughout that and was very helpful. And then there was a new group of kids in Malibu that I was just starting to hang out with. So as all that fell apart, a month later into the summer, I started hanging out with them.
Mm.
So I had some time to just, and I remember I was journaling stuff and I was like, okay, this time will be different. Because there was a bunch of boys in that group and I'd never been friends with boys before. I was like, I'm going to try to not be like the fun, pretty girl that I wanted to be. And I'm just going to be friends with them and like stop trying to like flirt all the time or whatever. I just want to be myself and be chill about everything and truly just hang out and be friends. I don't want any more drama.
Yeah. Wait, did that actually work?
To be
friends with guys? Because I feel like you've told me before.
No, I had crushes on all of them.
Okay. I was like,
tried. I tried and I actually was like, I would actually push it down. And I was like,
okay,
I really like him and I'm not going to do anything about it. And I didn't for a while.
Gotcha.
But I mean, even after that, like it didn't really work out anyway.
Right.
So it was fine. But I did have crushes on them, but I forced myself to not do anything about it. So, I don't know if that means it worked or not.
Well.
But It was fun.
For the first time, you didn't have to flirt with them, right?
Yeah. I was like,
please. Maybe you weren't really yourself.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so what age was that?
17.
Like, well,
summer 2011.
Okay. And then after that, because you moved to Nashville at what?
2015. 20? I was 22.
Okay. Because I feel like you, as you lived in Malibu, you had a lot, like you still felt very isolated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Throughout that entire time.
Yeah. That summer was like a bright spot. And then, and I, that summer was a bright spot and it healed my, like, it healed a lot of my physical self-esteem issues. But I started to notice as the year went by into the winter and the next summer, I was like, okay, I genuinely feel good about the way I look. Like, I love my body. I don't have any insecurities about it. I think I realized throughout that my body was not the problem. Like, but that kind of presented a new problem. I was like, okay, so I've just been taking out all my general worthlessness on my body.
Yeah.
Cool. I can stop doing that. But now I realize I think of myself as a worthless person. Gotcha. So even though my body is not to blame, because I knew, like, there was a time a couple years later where it really sunk in where I got really stressed out over this guy for like a month. And I just like, I was really bad anxiety because I never dated and we were still hanging out.
Yeah.
So it freaked me out. So I'd come home and just like throw up. Like I couldn't help it.
Huh.
And then I lost like 12 pounds from that.
Wow.
And I finally was, I was like 120 pounds and I was like, wow. Like it looked, it made a big difference on me. Like my, I was had like getting really bony and I was like, oh my gosh, I wanted to be this skinny forever. And I was never able to do it until it accidentally happened. And at first I was excited about it, but then I eventually gained the weight back and I realized I was like, the whole time that happened, at first I was excited, but then I started worrying that I was too skinny and I was like, oh no, my pants don't fit. And I was like, oh no, do people think I'm bony? And I had all these self-conscious thoughts again and I was like, wow, it hit me where I was like, I was happier when I gained weight over that one summer than when I lost the weight that I thought I wanted to lose all along.
Yeah.
And I realized like, I can be unhappy at any weight or I can be happy at any weight. It really has nothing to do with my body.
Yep.
But then that brought on the other problem. I was like, okay, so how do I fix this just general low self-esteem?
Yeah. Well, and when you felt just very worthless, I mean, I know you've always kind of had a problem with questioning your identity and who am I? Who is Lisa right now? Who was she back then? All that kind of stuff. How did that play out in this kind of scene right here?
Well, are you talking about like at following summer 2011?
Yeah. Especially, I think talk about too, like being a musician and how you kind of have to be on all the time. You have to perform.
Yeah.
And you're going to question who you actually are because when you're on camera, you sometimes end up being someone you're not actually.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
The few years following that, I remember I was genuinely very happy during that summer. And then the few years following it, I got really like down again, but it was kind of on and off. And it was really disappointing because I was like, man, like I was doing so well, you know, it's always like, oh, how do I get back to that? Right. I don't know. I can't do the same things because I already healed that problem.
So true.
I can't just keep rehealing my body.
Right.
And I had to look deeper into myself. And then I started thinking like, oh, maybe it's my personality. But then I learned more about personality, I ended up loving it. I was like, okay, that's even worse. So I love my personality. I love my body. I'm doing great in my job. I have good friends and still don't like myself. Huh. Even though I like myself, I still don't. It doesn't make sense.
Huh.
And I'm trying to think, those few years.
Was this like an everyday question for you too? Like
it was just
kind of sitting in the back of your mind.
It was just like a general rain cloud, like very subtle. Throughout those few years, it was just like I remember thinking it was kind of more like happy moments in between sadness. So there was always just this feeling of like, I
liked your tweet the other day.
Oh yeah, I just felt like it was the isolation of having like no friends in Malibu and not being super close to anyone. I was kind of hiding myself. So I would have like fun little times or whatever. It's like, oh, cool. Like I was able to be happy, but then just go back to this like loneliness. That's what it was. Constant like loneliness and feeling like I'm lonely for a reason.
Right.
Like if I was somehow more worthy and deserving, I would have good friendships. And not realizing, if you just stop hiding yourself from the world, you would have more friendships.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay, so now you've let's say like now you've moved to Nashville and you're still kind of in that lonely place because you're going out. Well, within the first year you didn't really go out much, right?
Okay. This is how the transition to Nashville went.
Okay.
I think it was 2015. In January was when I started talking to that guy that was really stressful, yes, and like I lost all the weight or whatever. And that was like a downward spiral, actually. Like after him, it was weird because he was like, I remember we were sitting in my car and he looked at me and he's like, Lisa, please don't let me turn you into a bad girl. And I was like, what? I was like, excuse me. I was like, you are not going to do that. And he's like, no, no, no. I don't know why it happens. I don't want to do it. I don't try. Mm-hmm. But after I like stop talking to people, whatever, like so many girls just turn into bad girls. I don't even want it to happen. And I was like, this is so weird. I was like, ew, like, I don't like that. But it was weird because I remember a few months later, I look back and I was like, did that just happen to me? Because I had like a weird spiral after him. And I was like, I don't even know how that happened. I think maybe it's just because he's so closed off and hard to get to. You like lose your mind trying to get his love.
Yeah.
So I remember I started from him and he was very like not a bad boy. Like I think a lot of people think of bad boys and think like, oh, they're like these mean, selfish jerks or whatever. But he was just had like this crazy party lifestyle that I didn't participate in, but I was hanging out with him. So I was getting more and more like comfortable around it. And I was just like, I feel like I kind of started losing my morals where I was just like, I don't do these certain things, but I don't really know why I don't do them. Mm. And like, I started feeling like it was January through August really where I was, it was long and it just kept getting worse and worse. I was like, I don't, especially the first 4 months of the year, I was just like, I don't really care about anything. I don't really care about myself. I started listening to like really dark, heavy music all the time. And I was just like, like I just wanted to wear like black all the time, which doesn't mean anything specifically. But for me, it's just like, I wanted to feel this darkness and like, I felt like it was just part of me. And I was like, this is who I am. So ridiculous. And then when I found out we were moving to Nashville, it kind of like reached a boiling point because it brought severe fear into my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I already don't have that many friends here. Mm-hmm. All my friends are in Northern California. Right. Now I'm going cross country. I know super far away from nobody them. Out there. Yeah. I don't know anything about the culture or whatever. Right. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. I've lived on the West Coast my whole life.
Yep.
And then I didn't want to think about it or face it at all. So the month, I was just like, I felt like I had like a death date where I was like, after May 22nd or 8th or whenever we moved, my life is over. So I'm just going to live until then. So I was like, every time anyone would ask me to hang out, I was like,
interesting.
Yes. And I was just like, every night I was like going out, I was going places, I was like going all these drives. I remember I would call, my friend Claudio would text me whatever, and he's like, hey, like, do you want to go like race my Mustang in the canyons? And I was like, yeah. Like, I was so reckless.
That's
like,
wild.
He would go through these like windy roads and do like burnouts and stuff. And I was like, wah! Like, I literally thought I was dying.
That's weird.
And I was like,
I love that though.
I have 20 days left to live.
But yeah.
Like, then you get to Nashville and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't plan for this.
This is where life is starting.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't plan on living after this date. I don't know what to do.
The old Lisa died. Welcome to the new me.
But
Taylor Swift.
Okay, right? That's what you would think. So then I get to Nashville. I do the move. The actual drive out here was really fun. Then I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? I'm still alive. Mm. I have so no friends out here. I spend the whole summer in my apartment watching Gilmore Girls, like the whole series. I had one guy from Northern California that I kept in contact with who was really bad. That kind of spiraled me more because he was like a really bad influence on me, just like emotionally and stuff. And I would like visit him a few times and that was really bad. And I remember in August it came to the boiling point where I was in my bathtub and I was like, yeah, I had kind of been telling myself throughout this whole year, like, I was losing my morals and like losing who I was, but I was like, I don't care. I don't care about anyone. I don't care about myself. Mm-hmm. I don't care that like I'm emotionally using this guy and he's using me. I just don't care. And that was when I lost my first kiss to him. And it was like 21. It was like a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was sitting in the bathtub and I was listening to this random Spotify playlist on Shuffle. And this song came on and it was like, teach me how to be loved. And like, it was, she was saying something like, I'm putting one foot onto the ice and she's like, feels like she's taking a big risk and like, I want to trust you, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
And like, will you take care of me? Will you teach me how to be loved? I'm scared. I'm like a child in your hands. Like, please don't hurt me. I remember she says in the song, please don't hurt me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I am not okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I do care. I do care that I threw all this stuff away. I do care that I've just let my life go to crap. I do care about myself and I'm really upset that I am living this way. And I just started like bawling and like
So it's like the way she said it?
The just what she said broke through to me where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be like this. Because all these songs I was listening to before that were just like, I don't care, nothing matters. And then I was like, no, it does.
You listen to one song that does.
One song got through to me. It was like a moment of God. And I was like,
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. But after that, we went on tour all over the U.S. in like September, and I was like, you know what? I kind of had this moment where I was like, I looked at my life. I was like, what is broken right now? What am I doing? Why am I treating myself this way? I was starting to like legitimately starve myself through the summer because I was freaking out about gaining that weight back.
Gotcha.
So I was like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. I stopped cold turkey and I was like, I don't want to talk to these guys. I like blocked their numbers, deleted them, whatever. Yep. I cleaned out my phone of all this like dark music and stuff or whatever. Oh wait, no, not yet. I was like, okay, we're going on tour. This time, I wanted to just hang out with my family because my whole family was going. Okay. And usually I would just like hide in my hotel room or whatever and like avoid everyone. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I need my family right now. I need connection. Mm-hmm. I'm so beyond isolated.
Right.
So we went on the tour and I just hung out with them like all the time. And I really wanted to get close to my dad and like everyone. And then I remember there was a week break where we came home in between, and I went to an All Time Low concert, and they were so like fun and positive. I had this song that was like, it's called Missing You, and it was like saying like, hold on tight or whatever, like don't give up. And I was like, and I remember that was the day where I was like, I'm done being dark. Because the whole tour, I was like, I remember during the tour, I was like, I want to just release all this darkness inside of me, but I don't want to live in it anymore. So I was listening to these sad songs, just getting it out, like mourning all this stuff that I'd done the whole year where I was just like, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like expressing all that. So at the concert, I was like, okay, I'm ready to be happy again.
Mm.
And I switched all my playlists and I got rid of all this stuff. And I came home from that and I was like,
feeling
it
good.
Was a literal shift.
Huh.
And I was happy after that for a while. And honestly, I think that was the last like dark period of my life, like truly dark that I've had since then. 2015.
That's incredible. Huh. Okay.
Sorry, that was such a long tangent.
No, hey.
I was trying to get it all.
The more details, the better. So, okay. So now that is 2015.
2015 into 2016.
Okay.
And I fell in love for the first time.
In 2016.
End of 2015, 2016. Okay. Which didn't last, but that was huge for me because I opened my heart to someone for the first time.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you
right after that, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and after that, I feel like you really started coming into yourself. And like, because you were always, you were wild and like, you know, weird, which I love. But you were always like that. But I feel like it wasn't reflective in every single aspect of your life, and I feel like for the first time in, I guess, 2016, you really started to just like embrace that completely.
Yeah,
would you
say? I think I was still scared to be like a real complete person that's not like fun and entertaining all the time, but for the first time in my life, I wanted to try and I wanted to reach out to people and open my heart. So I wasn't there yet, but I wanted to get there, and that was the first time, because before that it was all hopeless. It's like, I don't even know if I believed in love, honestly. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. And I didn't think that good things were really going to happen for me. Like, my view on my life before that was kind of just like, yeah, things will come, but things will go. And I might meet a nice guy, but it'll never last. And or I don't actually, I didn't think I would meet a nice guy. I was like, I might meet someone I really like, but they'll be bad. Like, I don't deserve good things and I will not get them. And then after 2016 and stuff, I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe I do want that.
Yeah.
I didn't even believe I would get it yet, but I was like, maybe I do want that. Because letting myself even believe that I wanted it was the first step to try. Okay.
Yeah. So would you say you like visualized a lot of stuff at that point or not really?
No. I just started to admit to myself, like, maybe I don't want to be this, like, wild, free spirit that doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to, like, look at myself a little deeper. I was like, I don't think you want to live like this.
Yeah. Okay, so we're at 2017?
2016 and 2017, yeah.
Okay. And then you cut your hair.
Okay, yeah.
So you kind of like came back into that a little bit?
Well, okay, really what that was is you were there. It was kind of a manic episode. I'm not like bipolar or whatever. I don't know if you want to call it.
I'm just taking people into the different
phases. Let's just call it a freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was after a crazy breakup. The beginning of that year was really fun. Like, we went to South America and stuff. And I remember I was starting to, like, lighten up. And I wanted to really, like, be in a good situation with a guy and, like, be happy and, like, enjoy my life. But I didn't really have it. And then I thought that I had it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And once that ended, like, there was the first one in the beginning of the year and then the second one in the summer. And once the summer ended, I was like, like, I don't know what to do. And yeah. I was like, I have to move on now. Like, I was freaking out. And I was like, cut my hair.
It was a big old change.
And I told myself, like, after it happened, it was so new. And I am addicted to change. I realized, like, I love it. I love new things. I love changing every, like, my hair, my lipstick, my makeup. Like, I love switching things up. Yeah. And, like, oh, the style of music I'm listening to, the place I'm hanging out. I just hate routine. I mean, sometimes I like it, but... So I was so excited from such a big change that I was like, I'm a new person.
Yeah.
It really did affect me in a big, real way where I decided something that I wanted to do that was a big deal. Like, a lot of people are honestly terrified of getting rid of their hair. Oh, they're 100%. So attached to it. Yeah. It's, you know, that's a big deal. Most people won't do that. And I was so detached and, like, in this mind state of nothing matters or whatever that I was like, let's do it. But I decided something I wanted to do. I was scared. I did cry about it the first few days beforehand, but I was like, I'm committing to this. I want to try it. I got to do it. I don't know why. I just got to do it. And once I actually did it, I was like, wow, what else have I, like, that wasn't even that bad. That was super fun and exciting. Like, what else have I been wanting holding to do back. And not doing? What else have I been holding back from? And that's when I really started, like, look at my life in a lot of ways, like, what else should I try? Like, it was definitely, like, a new chapter, but it didn't solve all my problems, like,
of course
acted like it did.
Well, it's funny because I was actually just talking to somebody about that the other day, and how when they enter a new chapter into their life, they almost have to do something physically for it to, like, seem like it's actually changing. Which, for me, I don't feel like I really do too much. I mean, maybe I do, and I need to, like, think about what that actually is. But, like, for this person, it was choosing to be vegan. And it's just, like, taking something that's different, and it's showing I am in a new chapter of my life, and so this is how I'm going to restart. So have you kind of always done that?
Even when I get home from a trip or whatever, like, I'll repaint my nails. So it's like, okay, different color. Yeah. I'm like, just little things.
Yeah,
I didn't really realize that, but that's true.
Yeah, because I just don't think I do that.
Like, I was like, today? I'm home now. Yesterday, I'm home now. Light pink, no more purple. I was like, I'm home.
There you go. I'm new.
Yeah. I'm new.
I think one of the biggest things that have happened for you recently is just, like, being connected with people. I think you're really starting to open yourself up to connection. And yeah. So talk about that. Like, first of all, how was that a challenge for you? Because you've always had a few very close friends in your life.
Yes.
And so that was never the problem. It was more...
Let's see. So the year after the haircut was kind of how I got there, because I was like, yeah, I'm a new person. I'm so fearless, blah, blah, blah. And I really believed that. Like, I just took it on as an identity. Like, I'm a fearless person. Woohoo. So I just kept changing it. And I kept going shorter and shorter. I eventually shaved my head. And I was like, I don't care about anything. But really, I was just very comfortable changing my hair.
Yeah.
And I was making it something deeper than it was. And I was more fearless than I was about certain things. Like, I would just walk into a room, start yelling, or, like, you know, shave my head, or, like... You know, I wasn't afraid of people around me, of how they were reacting, but I was terrified of people around me if they were to see me in a non, like, party state. Not party, non-fun state.
Do you think you actually did that so that they wouldn't get close to you?
I don't know if it was intentional like that. I think I didn't realize I was still hiding myself from people because I felt so exposed. Like, oh my gosh, I have no hair, right?
Right.
What could be more exposed than that? But really, it was just kind of like a shield. So it's like, I feel exposed, so now I don't have to actually expose myself, I think.
Okay.
This is how it went. Like, the last, I think it was maybe my whole life until the last 6 months I really realized it. I think before the last 6 months, I only wanted to be around people when I was on. So, yes. Like, maybe I have my makeup done and I feel pretty. So it's like, okay, I want to go down in the kitchen where, like, my sister's friends are over because I look good. I want to show it off.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to go to the grocery store because I look good or whatever. Or I'm in a really funny mood right now and I have all these comments in my head, so I want to go say them to people.
Huh. Okay.
But if I'm not, then I'm like, oh, I have nothing to give. Like, I want to stay in my room. I don't have anything to contribute. If I'm not in, like, a funny mood, or I don't look super pretty or whatever I'm thinking, then if I go downstairs and I'm around people, I feel, like, awkward and, like, naked. I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't feel like I have anything to give, and I don't feel like people are going to like me. So I'm just like, don't want to be in that right now. It's, like, painful for me. But I didn't realize that because I would never let it happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, I love being around people. I don't have social anxiety because I only am around them when I'm in a comfortable mood. Right. But then if I'm ever around them when I'm not, I'm like, oh, geez, I have no idea what to say.
And you can tell every time.
I'm terrified of these people. Mm-hmm. I'm literally, sometimes I remember a moment where I didn't realize what was happening, but it was the first time I became aware of it. My sisters had all these people over and they're like, come on, Lisa, like, come dance with us. You love dancing. And I was like, I don't want to dance.
Right.
And they thought that I was like mad at them or something, or they didn't know what was going on. But I literally went up in my room and cried in the middle of the dinner, and I didn't come down. And I was like, I feel so awkward right now. Hmm. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to just be myself around these people.
Yeah.
And I was like ashamed, and I was like, I don't know why I am this way. Like, what's wrong with me? And then the end of last year, Christina had a talk with me again and was like, Lisa, what are you doing? She's like, you're acting like an overgrown teenager. You are again, I was still like, I was being so like fearless and stuff, which was like fun and cool. But then I was also being really fearless, like reaching out to whatever guys I wanted or whatever. And like, again, nothing was really happening. But I was like, you know, maintaining these kind of pointless friendships and relationships where I was like, really not good people.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
And it wasn't real.
It wasn't real. Yeah. It was nothing. No one. It was nothing that was going to be there for me at the end of the day. Right. No one I could really count on.
Fleeting.
No one that really knew me. Mm-hmm. And it was just, again, I was so scared of getting close to people. So that was like one way for me to feel like I had something in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like, they're not, I can't call them right now. They're not there for me. They don't know me. So she was like, what are you doing? In much harsher words.
Right.
And I cried and cried and cried. I was like, what the heck? I'm doing this again. I was at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I really, the next few days after that, I looked at my life and I was like, I don't want to admit it, but it's true. Like, I it was so embarrassing. I didn't want to look at my life that way and say, like, I don't know how to be myself. I don't know how to just talk to people. I don't know how to be around good guys or whatever. Like, I really didn't want to admit that to myself. That's, like, really embarrassing and painful. And I was just, I just kept trying to fight it. And, like, I have this defense mechanism where I'm like, well, I'll just think of something that the person who's pointing it out did wrong. I'm like, well, you did this. And then I was like, Lisa, just because other people have made dumb decisions doesn't mean you haven't. I was like, geez, like, oh.
So
it was
hard
like,
to realize.
It's like shining a flashlight into your eyes. We're like, oh. And you're like, open your eyes, Lisa. Open your eyes. And then I was like, oh, geez. And I stopped and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I had to look at my life and I was like, what does it mean to be a real person?
And witness it without judgment, too.
Yeah.
You talked about a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it mean to just, like, okay, I had to look at everything. And I was like, okay, it's not like what I'm doing is bad. It's more of like my intentions. Like, talking to guys, it's not really bad.
Right.
It's not bad at all. But then maintaining, like, pointless, shallow relationships with people who are kind of like bad influences or whatever doesn't really do anything for me. And it's kind of damaging. And then, like, you know, wearing makeup, not bad at all. But then using it as a shield and only being around people when you feel on or whatever, that's damaging.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, being funny and silly and like going out dancing, not bad at all.
Right.
But using that as your only form of being around people and like social interaction, negative.
Right.
So I had to just, it's not like I had to change all my lifestyle really hardly at all. I really just had to look at everything and say, okay, when am I doing this that it's okay? And then when am I doing this where it's not okay?
Mm.
And like, I need to only be in this good side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I gotta cut all this stuff. And then again, if I'm taking all this out, now I have a big hole here. So what am I gonna fill that with? Like, what am I gonna do when I need to actually connect with people and it's not like putting on a show? And I was like, okay, I need to reach out to my friends more and I need to make more new friends, which I kind of have, not really.
Right.
Still working on it.
Right.
But like, I need to let myself be around people. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to walk downstairs and my siblings have friends over. Because that's a big deal. I never did that before. I was just like, I don't know these people. I don't want to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look at myself and I was like, Lisa, you don't know these people.
Right, exactly.
You don't know if you like them. Mm-hmm. I would just be like, I don't like them. They're not my crowd. And I was like, you don't even know them. You know this to be true, that some of your best friends you didn't like at first. So how can you say that your judgment is so on and you know exactly who you want to be friends with, don't want to be friends with, just from saying hi to them?
Exactly.
I had to like humble myself. I was like, all right, go down in the kitchen. Just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
Just talk. And don't put on your leopard print onesie. Just wear your normal pajamas.
Yeah.
Walk downstairs and talk. And like, how does it go? Just sit there.
And like, just give your presence.
Yeah, and just be there. And I remember we went to a party together.
Yep.
And I was wearing no makeup and I kind of like felt insecure because I had like, it's not like I don't feel good without makeup, but it was like I was wearing kind of like a boyish outfit and I just felt kind of like icky. Right. And I was like, ugh. Like, but I was like, you know what? This is what I feel comfortable in today. I don't know these people. I'm just going to be around them. Mm-hmm. I don't think every single person they interact with is a beauty queen. I think they'll be okay. I don't think they'll judge me and reject me because I don't look my best. And what do you know?
Yeah.
They were all talking to me and they're like, wow, cool. Like, nice to meet you. It wasn't like, wow, you're the most fascinating person I've ever met. But they were just like,
It was weird to find you and also exciting to find you in a circle by yourself with other people that you didn't know. Like, there was no security blanket there for you. It was just you.
Your security blanket.
I was in a different group, and you were just, like, literally sitting there with these people you didn't know.
It was great.
And you were conversing with them. And I think at that point, we even, like, wanted to leave, and you were like, no, give me, like, 5 more minutes. And it was like, okay, this never happens.
Great. Yeah. Because it all just came from the decision, like,
right.
I'm scared of this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. I need this. I need to grow. I need to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk to these people, but I need to do it. I know it's good for me. I have to do it. I just did it.
Mm-hmm. Who are you right now?
Yeah. I would say that was the beginning of the year, January. And throughout the last 6 months, I feel like I've just been getting lighter and brighter. And I realized, like, in the last few days, I think I woke up one day and I was like, I'm not a sad person anymore.
Mm.
I used to be like a sad person and not just like, oh, that's how I was. Like, some people really, really genuinely struggle with that, you know, and I can't speak on that.
Yeah.
And I know that it doesn't just change for everyone, which is like sad, but that's reality. So it's not like I'm like, oh yeah, anyone can change. Like, I know that's not realistic, but for me, it went away. It ended. Mm. I changed my lifestyle and it worked for me. And I realized, like, it used to be happiness in, you know, fun moments in between the loneliness and the sadness. And now it's, you know, sad things that pop up in between the happiness.
I love that.
Like, through my days, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. I come in my room, you know, I finally, like, put some stuff in it and, like, made it into a bedroom. I'm like, I love being in here.
Yeah.
And I do my job and I'm like, I like editing videos. I like recording. I like singing. Like, I'm not fighting it anymore.
Right.
And you know, I take care of myself. I eat what I want to eat and I hang out with my friends or whatever. And I'm like, I like this. It's good. You know, like I don't need anything else. That was another thing. My whole life, it was always just like, because I wasn't happy, I assumed I was missing something.
Gotcha.
So it didn't really matter what I had. I was like, no, when I get whatever this thing is that I'm missing, then I will be happy. Mm. And I just finally woke up to it. Like, I have so many good things. Like, absolutely. I'm beyond blessed. It's beyond like, I'm beyond provided for. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, maybe it's just gratitude, but I'm so grateful for everything that I have now, and my life is good.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, what do you feel like has been maybe like an inspirational quote or like a story, a Bible verse even, that just kind of defined who you are in a sense, or has just like gotten you through everything?
I think the biggest change was, I remember Christina was kind of saying in December when we had that whole talk, she's like, basically saying like, you need to do something about it. Mm. It's not just like, oh, your life is crap. It's like, you're making your life miserable.
Right.
It's your fault. And I was like,
yeah.
What? I was like, you know, you know, she's like, you still haven't had a good relationship, all stuff. And I was like, how dare you? And I was like, you can't control that. But then I looked at my life and I was like,
you're right.
I have been controlling it.
Yep.
I have been steering my love life into a dumpster.
Yep.
Like, literally, it was so bad. And it's like, I couldn't necessarily, I was like, I felt frustrated because it's like, it's not like there's all these great guys that I'm ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one. But but then I was like, But even though it wasn't, even though I didn't have this handful of great guys to choose from, at the same time, it's like I had a handful of like negative people that I was, what I was constantly drawing from.
Right.
So I was like, I could cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I was taking up so much space in my life for like love.
Right.
And then there were so many things where it's like, throughout my day, I would just give up. Like, hey, Lisa, can you look this up? And I would look up 1 second. I'm like, oh, I couldn't find it. Instead of like, why don't you try? Why don't you look at a couple more websites? Why don't you like try another search?
To research and stuff.
Not really. I don't love researching, it's hard for me. But it's like, there's so many things like that. Or like,
where you would just
you get this thing out of the refrigerator for me? And it's like, oh, I didn't see it. You know, like, look a little harder. Huh. Try a little harder. Or like... Yeah. You know, in the gym or whatever, they're like, oh, do 10 push-ups. And I was like, oh, I can't do it. I just gave up. And I'm like, you know, I think my body can actually handle more than I think.
So you pushed yourself.
Throughout my entire lifestyle, I had to become very aware through every day and be like, I'm not putting in like any effort. Mm. And I tell myself like, oh, my life is just so miserable, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, really? Like,
are you even trying?
I'm not trying. Yeah. And there's some times where it's like you really did give your best and it doesn't work out and like you couldn't do anything about it. But for me, there were so many times where like I could have done so much more to make things work or make things happen. Yeah. So that's been the biggest change for me this year is like I wrote it on my wall. I will keep, I can't remember which one comes first, but I think it's I will keep trying. I will not give up until I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is.
Right.
Keep trying. Mm-hmm. Try something else. And, like, just think about it. Like, is there something else I could do here? Because usually there is. Like, you know, oh, you're trying to get the Wi-Fi to work. Oh, I didn't fix it. Like, did you call the company? Did you call the number they gave you? Did you Google it? Did you call someone who has the same one as you? Yeah. Like, there's actually so many more things you can do that we don't really think about. Mm-hmm. And that's been the biggest change for me this year.
I need to take note of that.
Keep trying until you actually get it.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I wanted to go back to just for a question before we wrap up. But when you talk about your intentions behind things, so how do you – I mean, sometimes it's obvious if it's a good intention. Sometimes it's not obvious and you go into whatever you're going to do and then you kind of realize, oh, this was maybe not the best pure-hearted thing. How for you have you known what is a good intention versus what is a bad intention? Because sometimes I think I always confuse myself.
You always think you have bad intentions when you don't.
But they bad sometimes.
I always manipulate myself that I have good intentions when I have bad intentions. Like I'll do something. I know. I have a gut feeling where it's like, I know this is dumb. But I'll just think of anything positive that could possibly come out of it. And I'm like, you know, okay, I keep talking about guys, but it's like, oh, hang out with this guy. Well, I'll be a good influence on him because I don't do these things. And then, you know, it'll be great. So it's like, yeah, I'm saving the world because I'm hanging out with some guy that doesn't care about me. But you realize, you're like, no, I don't think that was very productive. I don't think I was being honest with myself.
Right.
That's another thing I wrote on my whiteboard. Huh. What is the truth in all caps? Because that's something that I hide from myself a lot. Yes. And I'm like, Lisa, you know why you're doing this at the pit of your core? Mm-hmm. Don't ignore it.
Right. And you are very self-aware and like you know when thing, like when you know.
I just know.
I get that. Yeah. Like I pretty well know I can push things down, but at the end of the day, I either know why I'm doing something or.
I think the best habit that I have is I stop and reflect often. Yes. If I'm driving in the car, I shut the music off and I'm like, what's going on? Like if you're not sure about something in your life, you just need to stop, sit in the silence.
Yes.
And then ask yourself, you're like, why am I really doing this? And you know when you're making up excuses, like, I just wanted this, blah, blah, blah. And you have this really emotional response, frantic, like, okay, calm down. Hmm. Is that really it? Isn't there something else here? Mm-hmm. Why are you so attached to this? You're like, and it's like, you have to give yourself the freedom to just explore. Like, just think about it for a second. Maybe if there was another, you know, very calmly, if there was another motive here, what would it be?
Yeah.
That always works for me.
I love that. So, where can people find you on social media?
Hey, guys. You can follow me on Instagram, at Lisa Cimarelli. Twitter, at Lisa Sim. Snapchat, it's Lisa Sim. What else do I have? You should add our Musical.ly, at Cimarelli Band. Also, our YouTube, Cimarelli the Band. So many links. Just Google Cimarelli. Eat your heart out. Oh, okay. My Spotify, Lisa Cimarelli.
Oh, jeez. Just wanted to commend you for coming here and sharing your story. And just always, like, with your friendships and stuff, sharing your process. Oh, gosh. sharing your process as you go through it. Because I think something that I have been able to take away from you every time we have conversations is just, like, I get to hear what you're going through. And then I get to take that back into my life and be like, okay, how can I apply this to my life? So So it's always super beneficial. Plus, you think so logically about everything sometimes that I'm just like... Okay, well, here's a 12-step plan for figuring my life out, so. But it's nice, and I just, like, I really acknowledge you for always being so honest with people.
Thank
and, like,
you.
Sharing yourself on your social media and doing it now, for sure, in a much better way of, like, I am connected at home here, and now I can do it publicly and share my life with the world.
Wow.
So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for being awesome.
Appreciate
Thanks you. For having me. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for watching the What's Your Life Journey podcast with our guest today, Lisa Cimarelli. And if you want to hear more stories like hers, you can subscribe to us on YouTube at the link in the description.
And join their Patreon community for exclusive content you won't get anywhere else and a chance to share your own story.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.